Our text is out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Shall we pray? Let your continual mercy, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church. And because it cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern always by your goodness, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Bridges are fascinating structures of engineering skill. Whether it is the Victoria Falls Bridge in Africa, Mackinac Bridge in Michigan, the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, or a fallen tree called the Robert E. Lee Natural Bridge in the Andy Griffith Show. Without bridges, there would be great difficulties in our transportation system, and it would bring more isolation to people. What about the concept of bridge building? This concept of bridge building toward others. The Bible teaches that we have an obligation to live in peace with people, whether they're ugly or pretty, not just those who are nice to us. Christ instructed his disciples on how to heal a broken relationship God's way. Our world is littered with broken relationships. They're found in families such as spouses, parents, and children. We encounter them at work, the grocery store, at school, the library, and among social classes. Well, what is the solution, we think? Well, is there a way to repair the breach, to rebuild the connection and restore the relationship? God has the solution to reconciled relationships. We don't talk about it much, but the Bible does. It is simply called forgiveness. In essence, it's to love God with all our hearts and to love our neighbors as ourselves, otherwise known as the Great Commandment. It means focusing on God first and people secondly. Forgiveness is something that tends to be a forgotten asset of each of us. Yet forgiveness can dissolve evil immediately. At a former church where I served, and it was a church where I think it was the most dismal mindset of people I've ever met, but I think it was brought on by an earlier generation who had made it customary, and you may chuckle and think, well, this couldn't happen, but it was customary to sue fellow church members regardless of the issue. I had never heard of such a travesty, either before or after, about a congregation who made lawsuits in the 11th commandment. Fortunately, that tradition died out before I arrived. Needless to say, God did not bless the church during those controversial years because of their attitude toward one another. Situations may occur that involve unkind words spoken, followed by spiteful actions known as revenge. A misunderstanding that could have been avoided. if only as people of faith we could remember concerning our personal reconciliation with God would make it easier in getting along with each other. Relationships are vitally important to God, and realize reconciliation to others must precede meaningful service to God. There must come the turning point of recognizing how important relationships are to everyone involved. My favorite philosopher from France, Monsieur Voltaire, said, "A long dispute means that both parties are wrong." A resentful, grudge-bearing attitude can drive people to behave in a most uncivilized manner. I've had family members who have held grudges against one another for years, and you know, they act like it never happened, but deep down you can see a sadness in their eyes. Fortunately, most of the time they did reconcile with whomever it was in the family they had the grudge against. But it will make reasonable thinking such grudge-bearing attitude go haywire while the thought of being grace-filled a pathetic travesty. You think about that. You can't have everything, and to be grace-filled while holding a grudge is almost an impossibility. In forgiving others, it isn't done so much for others as it is for the survival of ourselves. However, by forgiveness means not holding something against a person who has wronged us. And may I say, that is difficult, and we all know it, don't we? We all know how difficult it is to forgive someone who has wronged us. The Bible has some excellent examples of broken relationships. Some may be familiar, others not. There's David and Saul, Jacob and Esau. What about Paul and Barnabas? There are numerous examples in both the Old and New Testaments where broken relationships were mentioned. We must live at peace in our relationships just as God has called us to do. Relationships are important to God and His kingdom. They are important to our spiritual and emotional health. God does not desire us to discard relationships like used paper towels just because they don't make us happy. We are required to reconcile any relationship if at all possible, and that requirement is given to us by God. If we don't begin praying about such precarious situations, the result is the tendency to gossip about those broken relationships which lead to conflict. When in prayer to God, ask for God's help, then pursue healing the rift in the relationship. Be completely cooperative and just try to compromise when there may not be complete agreement. Relationships are worth restoring, regardless who was right or who was wrong. Think about it. When relationships are fragmented, it is required to correct it immediately. The heart of this passage is about relationships. God is concerned about our relationships, and God made us to be neighbors so as to live in harmony together. When reconciliation happens, God is pleased. There's an interesting but delightful story about former President George W. Bush, that's George II, that is, that occurred to him that happened while he was governor of Texas. He had to deal with a lot of conflict. Bush came into office with a hostile legislator. And early in his term, he met the opposition leader of the legislative branch with the hope of building a cooperative coalition for the future. The meeting was an absolute dismal failure. There was no trust nor agreement, but there was plenty of conflict. At the end of one session, as Bush arose to leave, he suddenly reached over and grabbed the opposition leader with both hands and gave him a big kiss on the cheek. The man was completely stunned. He was astounded, to tell you the truth. He became red-faced and stammered, "Why did you do that?" Bush said, "If I can't get your cooperation and help, I'm at least going to get a kiss from you." The opposition leader broke up laughing, and that was the end of the conflict, but the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Fractured relationships hurt everyone involved, and they can even damage those outside of the two parties in conflict. Remember, fractured relationships hurt our relationship with God. Is our pride worth it? Never. Never. Throw it aside. Get rid of it. It will constantly be a millstone around your neck. It will be an entrapment. Pride will never benefit an individual whatsoever. God has a wonderful way of healing old wounds and bringing people together even stronger than they were before. Bring healing to your life and to others this week. It's well worth it. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, to learn to forgive others. Help us to learn to seek reconciliation, even if it means that maybe the other person was wrong and we were right. It really doesn't matter, because a restored relationship is worth it all. Help us every day when we have problems with others, that we seek your help and guidance in all things. Guide and lead us always. And when we are in the midst of a fracas with someone, whether it's a family member or a friend or an acquaintance, let us remember that you are only pleased when we seek a peaceful resolution in the matter. Help us, O God, in all things, we pray, through Christ our Savior. Amen. Now let us join together and lift up our voices and hearts to God as we confirm and affirm our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And God bless you.